Eric Burns has joined us here on Sports Byline USA. Athletes always come to the end of their playing career, and they have to think about what lies ahead. For Eric Burns, now in his 40s, he's an elite endurance runner discovering a new passion, running 100-mile ultra-marathon races. And I love to quote from you that I saw in an article, "I thought a long run was going from first to third." How did you get into this?
Well, that's the truth, Ron. It really was. It's such an unnatural transition. And I think a lot of people, even people in the endurance world, they'll look at it and be like, oh, yeah, he was an athlete. Yeah, it makes total sense that, you know, he's doing triathlons or running these ultra marathons. But, you know, it couldn't have been a more unnatural transition. I had never run more than 4 miles in my life. I got into it basically because I ran into a couple junior high school friends of mine, the Ray sisters and this Kevin Quomels, three of my best friends, growing up that I'd reconnected with, and they were going down. And this is right after I got done playing, and they were going down to do the Pacific Grove Triathlon. And they're like, "Hey, why don't you come with us?" So Ron, I showed up. I had no idea what I was doing. I had never swam more than 25 yards in my life, never run more than 4 miles, like I mentioned. The only bike I owned was a beach cruiser. The race starts. I swear to you, I thought I was going to drown in the water. I got on the beach cruiser. I was getting past my 15-year-old girls. I end up running a couple quick miles, but it was, and this is just a sprint triathlon, and I got done, and they all kicked my ass, and they come to me, and they're like, what do you think? And I just said, you know what? I said, that was the greatest experience of my life. I said, thank you guys for introducing me to triathlon. And that's the last time any of you guys will ever beat me. And the next day I went out, I bought a triathlon bike. I ended up hiring a swim coach to have an idea and to hopefully, not drown in the water. And I ended up, working with a coach and to try to figure out how to run slower. And that was my biggest thing, is really trying to pull the reins back, because I was so used to just going, mock speed, and that was it. So the transition was very difficult. But 11 months after I did that first sprint, I ended up doing my first Ironman. And in a 4-year period, I did 8 Ironmans, now 9. I just did another one in November, but ultimately that transitioned into the ultra marathon world. And this past June, I completed the Western States 100, which is one of the most iconic ultra marathons in the world. And it was just a wild experience. And I was fortunate to have a documentary film crew. And really, they weren't a documentary film crew, but it was two guys that I had hired. And I realized, I'm like, man, this is my shot at doing the Western States. And this race is just, for anyone in the endurance world, it's sort of the Super Bowl of the endurance world. And I'm like, I'd love to have a couple guys like document it for me, so I don't have to worry about doing it on social media, this and that. And anyway, long story short, these dudes followed me around. Miles Smythe and Damian Gordon, they were awesome. Followed me around the whole race. As I went through the process, and what I really thought I was going to have was sort of like an expensive home video and just a really cool thing. And what it transitioned to as we started realizing, like, what we had here was a documentary called Diamond to the Rough. And it we end up chronicling really, how I went from playing Major League Baseball to the start line of the Western States 100, and then followed me through all the drama that happens in a 100-mile race, followed me through all of that. And we ended up with a product that I'm pretty damn proud of. We went to the Monarch Film Festival. We entered it. There are 100 films submitted. We were one of the 34 films that were chosen for the Monarch Film Festival down in Pebble Beach. And we won the Judge's Choice Award, which the way it was described is like, hey, look, hundreds of films are submitted for this, 34 chosen. The Judge's Choice Award goes to the one film that we just can't stop talking about. And that was, Just pretty special. Of all the awards that I think I've ever won in my life, I would probably put that at the top, Ron.
And by the way, Diamond to the Rough is available for rental and purchase at Vimeo on demand. You might want to check it out. It's a pretty darn good piece. You have a special relationship with Lance Armstrong, though, as I was reading about it, putting aside the politics and all the things that have happened on a human basis, I found very, very insightful. And it said a lot, I think, about him as well as about you. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, Lance is a guy, obviously very polarizing, and I think that, you know, Lance has made some dumb decisions in his life, you know, yet at the same time, you know, none of us ever lived Lance's life, and none of us really could relate or understand what it's like to be arguably the most, you know, famous athlete in the world. And then arguably, you know, the best athlete in the world. And then also on top of that, be a cancer survivor and have hundreds of millions of people watching your every move and looking at you like you're walking on water. And, you know, we were talking about the Livestrong bracelets. Like, he sold damn near 100 million Livestrong bracelets. So, you know, when it came to everything that went down with him, and not to mention the fact that he's in a culture, he's in a sport which is just a horrific drug culture. I mean, we know that, and hopefully it's cleaned up since then. But, you know, who knows? I'm not making excuses for him, but it's tough to blame anybody who decided to use performance enhancing drugs in cycling at that time. And then the other thing is where he went wrong is he went on the attack. But when you think about what he was trying to protect, and not only, of course, there was a huge selfish element of his image, but it wasn't just his image. It was everybody who believed in him, and it was a whole Livestrong thing. And knowing that if he went down with this whole thing, there goes Livestrong. And guess what? There goes the faith of these cancer survivors and kids and everything else. And so if you wonder why he ever fought that hard, that's why he fought that hard. And I'm not, again, was it right? Hell no, it wasn't right. It was wrong. He knows it was wrong. I know it was wrong. But if you're ever to look back and think, how did this happen with what I consider is a very good dude, that's how it happened.
When you participated in the Western States 100, which you, as you said, is a Super Bowl of endurance racing, he was right there beside you from mile 60 to mile 80. Tell me a little bit about how you two worked and what was the attraction for each other.
Well, Lance and I, we met playing golf and immediately just kind of hit it off. He likes to gamble. I like to gamble. And at the time, he was getting heavily into trail running. It's just, look, there's a different breed of people, I think, that can relate to, say, what Lance said this in the movie, and it's perfect. It's like, you know, there's, and it's not for everybody, but some of us need this long, like a long day's run or a long day's ride. And when we say a long day, it's like literally like a long day. Like, you know, we'll go ride for, you know, 6 to 12 hours. You'll go run for, in Western States case, you know, it took me 22 hours. Like, this is real stuff, but there's not everybody that relates to that. And immediately I think we clicked because of that. And, you know, really to be a pacer at Western States, it's gotta be one of the most selfless jobs ever. You're running through the middle of the night, you're running through creeks. And, you know, this is a race that not only is 100 miles, but it's 19,000 feet of elevation gain, 23,000 feet of descent. There's no zero glory in it. And it's not like even it's this super great workout for these guys, because by the time I see them at mile 60, my legs are so shot that really I'm looking at him and I'm like, man, dude, I can't go faster right now at this point. And so it's just, you know what, Ron, he actually, and people, a lot of people have asked me, you know, so what'd you guys talk about? What'd you guys say? We talked about life. It was, I don't know, maybe imagine, you know, Ron, you and I doing this radio show together, and what would we talk about? We'd probably be pretty similar to the conversation we're having right now. And and we sort of delved into all different walks of life. He's funny as could be. He had me cracking up 10 different times, and really that's exactly what I needed at that point of the race, because I'd say miles 60 to 80, I can make an argument those were the quote unquote say darkest, at least physically for me. Those were the darkest miles of the entire race.
You know, it's interesting. I used to date a woman who was an ultra marathoner, the 100-mile races, and it was amazing in talking to her because I could not imagine somebody running from Sacramento to Reno, Nevada. I mean, I just could not imagine that. And the one thing I came away with, and I'd like your insight on this, obviously physical capability is important in something like that, but the discipline of the mind during that, because as you get further into the race, it's almost – you know, your mind goes crazy. You have to keep it focused in order to go on. How did you train your mind to be able to stay focused and not worry about the body's performance?
I think that it's something that's developed. It's funny because so if I go and train, like say this morning, I hopped on the treadmill and I ran like 5.5 miles and from start to finish, I was on the phone with a buddy of mine for like the first half hour. Then after that, I was listening to a book on tape. And then if I go train and I go on a long bike ride, I immediately from start to finish, I'll either be listening to a book on tape or I'll be listening to music. And there's something about racing that I had music on me, and you are allowed to listen to music. You are not in Ironman triathlons, but you are in the Western States in ultramarathons. I didn't turn it on once. I had this music on me, and I just didn't turn it on. And I think what happens, and this is really kind of one of the key points of the movie, is that it's not about the reward. The reward is the process. And the process is really what life is about. So to be out there and to be racing and going through the process and to be out there with other runners. But I mean, I went through a stretch of probably 15, 20 miles. I think, leading into mile 60 where I hardly saw anybody and I was out there on my own, but I was strategizing and it was not only the one foot in front of the other, when I wasn't feeling great, but watching my feet, where were they going, playing with my pacing, practicing, not practicing, but just delving into the technical part of what it takes to run. I'll tell you what, it was one of the most incredible experiences, if not the most incredible experience of my life, but it's such a microcosm for life. And the other guy that paced me from 80 to 100 was Franz Dill, and he completed the race 4 times. And he had told me, he's like, you're going to live a lifetime in a day. And I didn't really know what that meant. And I'd done 8 Ironmans at that point, and I'd done a bunch of ultra marathons, and I'd never done a 100-mile race, but I'd done 100K as a qualifier, and I still couldn't grasp that concept of like what does he mean about the lifetime in the day, and then you go through it, and I walked away from it going, that's exactly what it was. It was a lifetime and a day, and just going through, not only the physical ailments, but the emotional roller coaster. And then ultimately walking away and coming out of it, just thinking, man, what an awesome, awesome experience.
Yeah, we've got about 30 seconds left, so I need to ask you, what sense of satisfaction did you get with your baseball career or even doing these ultra marathons and when it was over with?
I don't, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, is that it's not the satisfaction that when it's done, it's not about that. It's not about it being over and looking back and saying, hey, look, I played 11 seasons in the big leagues and, hit 100-something homers and stole 100-something bases. Or I did this race and I finished in 22 hours, or I did this Ironman and finished 10 hours. Like, results are the results. And it's okay to have goals and set goals and chase them, even if they're time-oriented goals. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if you're not getting if you're not getting fulfilled when you're out there, if you're not letting that pain talk to you, if you're not letting that resonate with you, you're missing the point.
Eric Burns with us, double-digit years in Major League Baseball and still continuing his life very successfully. We continue on Sports Byline.